Angelica. Lou. Without warning, Reed collapsed face first into the water, and that is when I lost my shit completely. Fresh shouts erupted from shore as I dove toward him, slinging an arm across his shoulders and spinning him to his back, looping his elbow through mine and cradling his head against my shoulder. The sharp, potent scent of magic clung to him. Though his chest still rose and fell, the movement seemed shallow, harsh, as if he was in terrible pain. Reed! I shook him desperately, struggling to stay afloat. We both went under. Water burned my throat, my eyes. Choking on it, I kicked harder, propelling us above the surface for a few precious seconds. I could swim, yes, but towing a limp 200-and-something-pound man was something else entirely. Reed! The shouts around us escalated, and I glanced ashore. My heart lodged in my ravaged throat. Morgan had lost consciousness with Reed. Whatever magic he'd done, it had affected her too, and absolute chaos reigned. The Dame Blanche nearest her shrieked and rushed forward, pulling her away from Josephine, from Coco, from us. Do not be foolish! Josephine's vehement shouts cut through the mist, which had descended with a vengeance once more. This is our chance! Get the girl! But even the Blood Witches wouldn't step foot on the waters again, not when they continued to ripple. Not when Coco rose, her binds having vanished after Morgan's collapse. Not when she stepped back into the waters, nor when she lifted her hands. Her dark eyes fell first to Constantine, then to Beau and Celie, still blood-soaked and unconscious, and they burned with retribution. You should have known better than to follow us here, Taunt. I was born in these waters. Their magic is my own. I foundered beneath the waves, surging up in time to see Josephine clench her fists. Their magic is hers, she spat. Not yours. Never yours. I am part of her. You are mine. The last shred of Josephine's control seemed to snap, and she swept a long, crooked dagger from her cloak. Her hands shook. She abandoned you. She abandoned me. She is on her way. Coco finished grimly, eyes flicking to her own uplifted hand. A fresh wound I hadn't noticed sliced her palm. Blood dripped from it into the waters, and with a start, I realized Coco's steps hadn't woken L'eau Melancolique at all. Her blood had. And the waters weren't merely rippling now. They were moving, parting down the center as if the heavens had drawn a line from Coco to the horizon. They swelled on either side of that line, growing and growing and growing, like twin tidal waves, until a footpath along the rocky seafloor appeared. Small enough for a single person to walk unhindered. I clung to Reed as the waves battered us, the currents dragging us under before thrusting us upward once more. When I shouted Coco's name, coughing and spluttering and desperately kicking for shore, she turned to look at us. Her eyes widened with panic before we went under again. When we reemerged, another current swept us up between one breath and the next. This one, however, seemed determined not to drown us, but to deliver us to Coco. I didn't fight or question it, focusing all my attention on keeping Reed's head above water. My arms shook with the effort, my legs seized. Come on, Shas! I pressed the back of his head into the crook of my neck once more. We're almost there. Stay with me. Come on, come on! The current dropped suddenly, and we plummeted with it, straight through the icy water to the seafloor path. When we landed, stunned and shivering, Coco sprinted out to meet us, pulling at my arms, my hands, pushing Reed's soaking hair out of his face, checking his pulse. She ignored Josephine and the Blood Witches completely. They still didn't dare enter L'eau Melancolique, even on the path. Are you hurt? Coco demanded, checking every inch of me in harried, clumsy movements. Are you... I caught her hands and grinned. You look like shit, Ami. Those eye bags are as big as Beau's head. Coco dropped her forehead to our joined hands, exhaling in relief. You're you. I'm me. Thank God. Thank Ansel. She chuckled on a weak exhale, lifting her head, then froze. Her stare fixed on something over my shoulder, something farther up the footpath. Its silver reflection, just a speck in the darkness, shone bright in her eyes. Whoever or whatever it was, it approached not from shore, but from the depths of L'eau Melancolique. I tensed instinctively. A face drifted in my mind's eye from Nicolina's memories, and suspicion lifted the hair at my neck. Goose flesh rose on my arms. When Josephine turned ashen, however, I knew. When she stumbled, actually stumbled back a step, I clutched Reed tighter in my lap, my heartbeat thundering in my ears. Several of the Blood Witches fled without a word. My gaze remained locked on Coco as the silver speck in her eyes grew larger. Nearer. Too near now to ignore. I twisted to look over my shoulder at last. And there she was. A full-body chill swept through me at the sight of her. Tall and statuesque, with thick black curls and rich brown skin, nearly identical to Coco in every way. Except for the eyes. At some point between Nicolina's memory and now, they'd turned a pale, icy shade. Her gown matched the peculiar color, the iridescent fabric swirling between white and green and purple and blue, and rippled in the breeze as she approached, like a goddamn fairy tale princess. She stopped a pace behind me. I might have gaped. My mouth might have fallen open like a bug-eyed fish. Up close, she appeared even more beautiful than from afar. Her face perfectly heart-shaped, her lips perfectly bowed. Silver powder dusted her cheeks and nose, as well as her brow and collarbones, and ornate moonstone jewelry gleamed from her fingers, her wrists, her ears, her throat. She'd braided her hair around a teardrop opal headpiece. The precious stone glittered against her forehead. Her dress and hair continued to undulate gently, even after the breeze waned. She smiled down at me. "Angelica," I whispered in awe. "Sister," Josephine hissed. But it was Coco's whispered accusation that changed everything. "Mother." With a graceful incline of her head, Angelica nodded. She stood with impeccable posture, unearthly stillness, her shoulders back and her hands clasped at her waist in a familiar position. How many times had I seen Josephine hold herself that way? How many times had I yearned to wring that long, elegant neck? It was uncanny how two people with the same features could look so different. I glanced at Coco. It was haunting when there was a third. "Sir." With a voice smooth as silk, Angelica spoke with calm assurance. "Fee." She lifted a hand as if to touch Coco's cheek before thinking better of it. She let it fall to her side instead, bereft. "I have missed you." Though Coco said nothing, her eyes spoke volumes. They glittered with unshed emotion in the moonlight. I frowned, my own eyes narrowing, and the glow around Angelica's face dimmed slightly. More than slightly. I might have even called her hideous now. Then again, mothers abandoning their children to cruel relatives might have been a sore spot for me. Madame Labelle had left Reed, and he'd ended up with the Archbishop as a father. Morgan had tried to kill me, and somehow I had too. Though beautiful, Angelica had left Coco in the hands of her aunt. She was no different from them, really. She was rotten inside. In her case, rot just happened to smell like lilies. Accepting that her daughter wouldn't, or perhaps couldn't, answer, Angelica returned her gaze to Josephine, who had inched toward Beau and Celie. Those perfect lips pursed. "Do not harm the children, Josie. Your quarrel is with me." Josephine glowered as she lifted Celie's head. Her hands weren't needlessly cruel, but careful and steady as she held Celie's neck firm. No, not careful. Practical. Efficient. She would kill Celie if necessary, just as she'd killed Etienne. "What will you do?" she asked her sister. "You cannot leave the waters." Coco and I shared a brief, confused look. Angelica only flicked a jeweled dagger from her thigh sheath, and sighed. "Must we do this, sir? We both know the damage I can inflict from here." To illustrate her point, she placed the dagger against her chest and sliced down, directly between her breasts, without hesitation. The blade tore through fabric and skin as butter, leaving a thick line of blood in its wake. Josephine hissed, and her hand flew to her own chest, where an identical wound had formed. My confusion deepened as I stared at it. Nicolina's memories hadn't revealed anything like this. Not that I'd known to look for it. What the hell is happening? I breathed to Coco. Josephine and Angelica still glared at each other, bleeding in a silent standoff. You said your mother was dead.
I said my aunt said she was dead.
And now?
She shrugged stiffly. Now it looks like they're bloodbound.
Bloodbound?
It's a dangerous spell between Dame Rouge. It binds their lives together, their magic.
I looked again at their twin wounds. Oh, shit.
She nodded. That about sums it up.
On the heels of that unpleasant realization, however, came another. Does that mean we can't kill your aunt without killing your mom?
Apparently.
My stomach plunged as Josephine readjusted her grip on Celie, pressing the dagger to the back of her head.
Your threat is empty as always, sir, she said, while you clutch at others' skirts and hide where I cannot reach you.
She laughed harshly, the only time I'd heard her laugh at all.
No, you will not inflict real harm on yourself to hurt me, or you would have done so centuries ago.
Right. I couldn't kill her then. Testing my pattern swiftly, I followed each one to their sacrifice. I just needed to knock the knife from her hand, something simple, a gust of wind, perhaps, a spasm of her fingers.
Wait, I whispered to Coco as I searched. If you thought your mother was dead, why were you trying to summon her?
I wasn't trying to summon her. I just... The waters spoke to me. I listened.
You gave them your blood.
I cut an incredulous glance at her over my shoulder.
Because they asked nicely? Did they at least say please?
I was born of them, she muttered defensively.
Surrender, Louise,
Josephine insisted, ignoring our low, fervent conversation. Angelica kept her blade loose at her side. Her blood dripped from its tip to the seafloor, and black pearls formed from each drop. I glanced again at Constantine.
Surrender, Cosette!
Josephine's fingers tightened around her own dagger.
Or I will dispose of this pathetic child. I will dispose of the mortal prince. Like hell.
Gritting my teeth in a sharp burst of hatred, I clenched my fist, and my anger sparked along a pattern. I watched as it sizzled between us, feeling the heat of it leave me. The cord disintegrated to golden ash as Josephine yelped, dropping her dagger and clutching her burned hand. I grinned in satisfaction and wiggled my fingers.
It's time for you to go, Josie.
Angelica lifted her own hand in emphasis, and the waters responded, surging past the shoreline to reclaim Celie and Beau, depositing each of them at our feet. But they didn't stop there. They continued to flood the sand, to reclaim the beach, sweeping away the silver chalices. They chased Josephine's hem with sentient determination, and she had no choice but to back away quickly. Just as Nicolina had feared the dark, it seemed Josephine feared the strange magic fortifying these waters. She still refused to cede. When she turned to shout orders to the remaining Dame Rouge, however, commanding them to hold their ground, her eyes widened, and she finally saw the battle had been lost. The Blood Witches had already fled into the cliffs. Josephine stood alone.
Leave this place, sir, Angelica said.
From the steely edge to her voice, I knew this was her final warning.
And never return. I cannot promise your safety if you continue to provoke Isla. Isla!
Josephine's face twisted at the name. The waters kept coming, however, forcing her back until she stood atop the first rocks of the path. Her black eyes bored holes into Angelica's beautiful face.
The Oracle, your mistress, my friend.
With another wave of Angelica's hand, the waters climbed higher, and Josephine leapt backward, away from them. She moved with surprising agility for a 1,000-year-old hag.
You would do well to respect her, Angelica continued. Though she rules below, she has not turned a blind eye to the war above. You do not want her as an enemy.
A peculiar light built in those pale eyes as her gaze turned inward.
Though it seems you've already displeased her siblings.
For our benefit, she added,
the triple goddess and the wild man of the forest. Do you have a family, Monsieur Devereux?
As a matter of fact, I do. Two elder sisters, terrifying creatures to be sure.
All these years I have watched you, Josephine.
Sadness softened Angelica's voice, and the ethereal glow slowly faded from her eyes.
I have hoped for you. You think me a coward, but you are a fool. Have you learned nothing from our mistakes?
Josephine didn't visibly react to her sister's piteous words. She merely continued to walk backward, her face inscrutable, her eyes burning like twin flames in the darkness.
There are no mistakes, sister.
She smiled at each of us in turn.
We shall see each other soon, I think.
Then she turned, cloak billowing behind her, and disappeared into the night.